the Good News Station.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Iran nuclear talks continued today past the deadline for a framework and will probably go into tomorrow. Tehran is reportedly not agreeing to the timetable for economic sanctions relief and a curb on uranium enrichment. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says that extending the deadline doesn't mean the U.S. is caving.
I actually would posit to you that the reason that we're a day past the deadline is because the international community is insisting on a good deal.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Iran cannot be trusted and that a weak deal will endanger world peace.
The concessions offered to Iran in Lausanne would ensure a bad deal that would endanger Israel, the Middle East, and the peace of the world. Now is the time for the international community to insist on a better deal.
Mexico's state-owned oil company says a fire at a platform in the Gulf of Mexico has killed 4 workers. 16 others were injured and 300 were evacuated. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security with its 5-year warranty can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security with its 5-year warranty is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a 4th-generation full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson is calling for changes to a religious freedom bill because of backlash from gay rights groups. He says he wants a bill addressing the need for diversity and protection of religious freedom.
There is clearly a generational gap on this issue. My son Seth signed the petition asking me, Dad, the governor, to veto this bill.
Joseph Ruckus, the faculty advisor to Arkansas State University Gay Straight Alliance, told KAIT the religious freedom bill could hurt the state's economy.
As we've seen with what's recently happened in Indiana, many tech companies view this form of legislation as discriminatory.
Even though Indiana's governor says the bill does not allow for discrimination, some are calling for a boycott on the state and are urging businesses to move out. Iraqi security forces have achieved a victory over ISIS in Tikrit, thanks to the U.S.-launched airstrikes that supported Iraqi ground forces. It is seen as a key step in driving ISIS out of Mosul. This is USA.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They're your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Now that Nigerians have voted in a new president, there is a lot of speculation as to what impact this will have for America, USA's John Clemens reports.
Former Nigerian military ruler Muhammadu Buhari defeated Goodluck Jonathan, marking the end of the 16-year rule by Jonathan's People's Democratic Party. People like Nigerian-born Emmanuel Agbaje is hopeful that when Buhari assumes power at the end of May, the 72-year-old retired general will shed much of the Islamic hardline rhetoric he portrayed to the voters in Africa's most populous nation.
We're just hopeful that they will try and stay neutral and that, you know, they will not turn out to be the Islamic Brotherhood of Nigeria, which is one of the nicknames that they've been given.
I'm John Clemens.
The death toll is up to 35 after Saudi-led warplanes bombed a factory being controlled by Iranian-backed Shiite rebels in Yemen. Officials suspected the factory was being used as a weapons storage site. Cynthia Lennon, the first wife of former Beatle John Lennon, has died at her home in Spain. She was 75. The news was announced today on the website of her son, Julian Lennon. Cynthia and John Lennon met at art school in Liverpool and married shortly before the Beatles shot to fame. They divorced in 1968 after John Lennon started his relationship with Yoko Ono. Julian was their only child together. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Joe, I'm on.
You're on.
Hey, we were talking about the Bahamas.
Are you the attorney over there?
No.
I think last week we were talking about skiing.
Last week we were talking about
You've been talking about last week.
Hey, do you know, remember I talk about our team and how credible we are?
Yes, incredible.
Wait a minute. But I want you to know, I always say Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, folks, this is Team Martech. If you haven't heard about us, I'm going backwards on this thing. But Ms. Victoria Lloyd is the hardest working person alive. Male, female, any age, any time, the most credible. And that she always returns phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say this about anybody else, but she always returns phone calls, no matter who she is or where she is.
Right.
This is a clue. And so I got a friend of mine calls up and says, Joe, my son wants to get a house and he's having a hard time finding one. I said, well, hey, you know, you happen to be calling the right person. I'm going to tell Ms. Victoria Lloyd to call you, and she'll handle it. So I call and leave Victoria a message. Now, you know, how many times does she not answer her phone, Mike?
Never.
she always
calls.
She goes, Joe, I'm with a client right now. Joe, I'm in a closing right now. Joe, I can't talk to you right now. I'll call you back. But she almost always, and I don't care what she's doing, and there's other times that are more embarrassing, but she doesn't care. She will always answer her phone. She did not answer her phone. I thought, boy, that's unusual for her. Mm-hmm. So what happened is she then left a message at the office that she called the person I told her to call and that she's in the Bahamas. So she called.
So calling from vacation.
She called from the Bahamas.
And she's the only member of the team that's not here today.
Yeah.
And probably because she's busy listing a property.
She's in the Bahamas.
She's in the Bahamas.
Literally right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I remember the last time this happened, the only other time she did not answer her phone, she was in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And she Skyped me because she couldn't get the phone to work. And so she had to go figure out a place that would do the Skype routine. Mm. And
do you know how to do that?
No. I don't know how to do that. You know
it's
how to do Skype?
Funny you mentioned that. My wife is trying to get me to Skype to see my grandson.
Well, you go ahead. Once you learn, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
No, I'll let you be the Skype person.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, this technology stuff.
Yeah, okay. This video conferencing, it's good stuff.
Well, you know, you're young.
That's younger than you.
Everybody is here, I hate to tell you. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is a talk show. You can call us, and we will answer questions. And we have here some experts. We have Pastor Tom.
He's an expert.
He's an expert.
That means I'm 5 miles from home.
That too. And then 10, 12, where we go. See, somebody's finally calling.
Listening.
10 or 12 years ago, we started doing these shows. We officially have used Hurricane Francis and Gene as our start because none of us can remember when it was. But we remember we were doing the shows when Hurricane Francis and Gene hit.
And what was that, 10 years ago?
04.
That was about almost 11 04. Years.
Almost 11, okay. 04. And because I was just saying to Mike, I was evicted from the Bahamas for Hurricane Francis.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you know, some things you do remember. and your boat. Remember, Mike, what's more important? Oh, the kids, we don't care. The house, we don't care. The boat.
Save the boat.
We can't say we got to save the boat. I mean, I stayed on the boat during the storm because, you know, it's my boat, right?
Well, it's just a shame that they evict you because it might damage the harbor instead of damaging you and your boat.
They didn't care about me in the boat.
No, they didn't.
They were concerned about me wiping out the harbor. So 10 or 12 years ago, the concept was very simple. Joe Martek's a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker, a securities principal. And I've got a lot of clients basically here and also in 13 other states because people move and referrals. And clients would ask me questions that I did not know the answer to. So if you are a credible professional, you align yourself with other professionals. And the word credible became the magic word. So what I was looking for, and this is over 20 years ago, were people that had experience, weren't brand new in business, and in my opinion, were at the top of their field. So I needed to have certain people. One, I needed to have an attorney. Why? One of the first things I do when I meet a new prospect or a suspect is ask them if they are ready to die. Now, if I was an attorney, I would phrase it.
We would probably say estate planning.
Yes. He would say big, nice words, estate planning. Now, you know, most of us, when we hear the word estate, we think of Rockefeller.
Yeah.
You know, but estate, if you die and you've got 50 cents, that's your estate.
You got a car sitting out in the driveway, that's an estate.
That's your estate. So whatever your stuff is, that's your estate. So one of the things that I lean pretty heavily on is people getting a will or a trust because it's the right thing to do. One of the things that happens if you don't have such a thing, the state will cause your heirs an awful lot of trouble, and attorneys will not be unhappy.
Everybody's got to work.
Everybody's got to work.
Everybody's got to make a living.
Everybody's got to make a living. So let's say you have a trust, and you leave this big estate, but you've got your trust funded properly, and you go to your attorney and say, hey, Dad died. Here's the trust. What do we do? And you would say, Greg?
First of all, I would say, you know, what's in the trust? What assets are in the trust and what needs to be done? How, you know, who do they go to? Are there any debts to be paid, expenses to be paid?
I'm the kid now, you know, I'm looking for Dad's money, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, okay, how long is this going to take?
Shouldn't take that long. And it depends on the type of asset.
So let's
if it's real property, you might have to sell. You know, it may take some time, but normally shouldn't take long.
So not too long means?
Within weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back and take the same scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm dead, and mm-hmm. I left $1 million that is subject to probate. A probatable estate.
Mm-hmm, there, you would have to go through court. You'd have to open up an administration with the court. And if it's a formal administration, by statute, you have to publish in the paper for noticing creditors. And, you know, there you have to wait at least 3 months for creditors to make a claim if there's any claims on the estate.
And then?
Well, I mean, total, you know, if everything goes well, you're talking maybe 5-6 months for the probate.
Now, we take the first scenario with this trust that I might have spent $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, depending on how complex it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have such a thing, and I've got this $1 million subject to probate, and my son says, hey, okay, he's gone. I'm glad he's gone, and I know how much I'm going to get because it's written down there.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you going to charge, Greg,
mm-hmm.
to settle this thing? And you say...
To do what, the probate?
Yes.
Well, usually I go by the statute. Most attorneys do, and there's a Florida statute that sets out what's reasonable fees for probate, and depends on the size of the estate.
Now, remember, it's $1 million now.
Well, if it's over $100,000, it's 3%.
Now, let me tell you, this is a math question, right? We have any math experts here? No. We got a CPA sitting here.
$30,000? Would be the one.
$30,000.
See how quick Vince came.
Now, let me tell you, only thing I'm sorry about right now is we don't have a camera here, because every time I do this to Greg, he can't help but smiling, because $30,000 is better than what, a couple hundred?
certainly better than...
Yeah, of course, but, you know, how often does that happen when you have a probatable estate that big?
Joe Robbie.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
Then that fee would be a lot more than $30,000.
I think that might have been a few hundred thousand dollars in attorney fees.
I remember that.
Let's face it, folks. These are things that one of the reasons that I had to have a, quote, attorney that I trusted, that I admired, that I respected. And boy, I'll tell you, those are hard things to put all on one person's shoulders. I mean, to find an attorney that wasn't arrogant, wasn't pretentious, wasn't overpriced, was a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this to Greg 50 times, maybe 100. I said, Greg, they teach you that in law school? And he says,
no, Joe.
They don't.
But what happened? I appreciate it.
20-some years ago, I met Greg, and I don't remember how, and he handled one client, and they were very happy. Well, then I went to other attorneys, and every time I went to a different attorney, they'd get the job done, but some of them were charging what I consider onerous amounts. Some were not user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
User-friendly means they were, you know, a lot of times you walk in to see somebody. Like when I first met Pastor Tom, he was wearing his pastor hat real hard, and I was really scared of him.
Good.
He was? Good. But certain people, by position, they have more power than others. It's like a doctor that thinks he knows everything. You're afraid to ask him questions. A lot of times, attorneys, you're afraid to ask because, hey, they're supposed to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Greg is not an arrogant person. He's not pretentious. He's a good listener. And for that standpoint, when we started doing these shows, and even before that, every time I had a client ask me anything to do with the law, I would call Greg. Greg would say, Joe, I don't handle that, but I have a friend of mine that's in the business that I trust, and I suggest you call him. And that's the way our relationship has gone. So an attorney became a critical part of it. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, became as critical because here became Hurricane Andrew, which only put 10 or 11 or 12 insurance companies out of business in the state of Florida. By the way, the state paid all the claims because once they were an admitted carrier, the state was part of your partner, even though it's not exactly the right phraseology, but they were there to protect you because once they admit a company, they accept certain liability. But in the meantime, all these other insurance companies, sometimes the rating agencies would come and say, hey, we're going to bump you down from an A+ to a C-. I'm kidding, I'm paraphrasing. But the bottom line was they said you need to get rid of a certain amount of business. You have too much business and too much exposure. So some of the main carriers in Florida either non-renewed a whole bunch of people or they raised their rates double and triple, which upset these people, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
So an independent insurance agent became a critical part because an independent doesn't work for one company.
Right.
He works for the client, and he'll have 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 different insurance companies. And in Dan's umbrella under that, he's got over 80 companies. Not all of them are home and auto, but the bottom line is, in my opinion, he ranks up in the top of the best independent insurance agencies, and he's a magnificent person.
Yeah, I can't tell you how important that is, too, for an insurance agent, because he bailed me out yesterday on a deal.
Explain how he bailed you out.
Well,
now, by the way, this is Mike Powell's mortgage broker.
Yes. I had a transaction where, you know, we had estimated the borrower's insurance to be around $2,400, which is average for the area. And the quote actually came in at $3,900. Well, $3,900 not only increased the borrower's requirement for cash to close, but it also increased the payment quite substantially. And that knocked him out of qualifying for the mortgage. Now, so I shopped it around with Dan, and Dan came back with a quote of not of $3,900, but $1,900. So it saved the customer a good bit of money, which was really not the main problem. The main problem was, you know, now they didn't qualify. Now they do with the $1,900 quote. So saved the deal for us.
Well, the bottom line was he saved the client $150 or $70 a month, which then they could qualify for this mortgage. If you don't make enough money to make the payment, you can't get the mortgage.
Yeah.
So,
and saved them $2,000 up front for the initial premium.
Little minor thing.
Yes.
$2,000. So this became another critical part of the group, was to have a person that would work with people that could answer questions to do not only with legal and insurance, but also mortgages. Then I probably call poor Mr. Rosino, CPA, at least once a week. And after many, many, many years in the business, you think that you've heard everything, but invariably something comes along that I've not heard. And even Vince sometimes will say, well, that's a, haven't heard that one for 5 years or whatever.
Joe never gives me softballs. He doesn't give me a softball just to see if I'm awake. No. He always gives me these twisted things that, you know, or some esoteric thing, and I got to look it up.
In the but middle of okay. your busy season.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Well, you know what you try to do? It's like we were talking to Pastor Tom earlier. How do you help your client or people? And that's what we do.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things with doing what we do as a group and individually, there's a ton of knowledge stuck in that head, and sometimes it comes out.
Sometimes,
not always.
Hope it comes out at the right time.
Sometimes, and exactly. So very often there's an easy solution just because we may have bumped into that same solution in the past. So in between our cumulative group, we've been able to help an awful lot of people. So that is the concept of the team, very simply. Vince Rizzino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. When it comes to real estate, there's nobody in the world that you could go to that's going to be any more honest and straight with you, period. And last but not least,
yourself.
Greg. Introducing Joe Montek,
financial advisor.
Financial advisor.
Also called a
extraordinaire.
Stock broker. Thank you. Thank you. Keep going. Don't stop now. You know. So this is a talk show, and if our moderator here would have interjected, he would have given the phone number out and gotten people to call us.
Well, you would like the phone number?
I think
I can remember that. If you are listening today and you'd like to ask any of these guys a question, the toll-free number from anywhere here in South Florida is 888-221-8990. That's toll-free, 888-221-8990.
Now, just because you couldn't understand Southernese, that's 1-888-221-8990.
You didn't really say that.
I didn't. Hey, did I say that?
No.
I didn't think it. Greg, was that you mimicking
that
me?
That wasn't me.
What the heck is Southernese? Sounds like Jack Daniels.
You know, there's something to be said. I have a story to do with how the stock in Jack Daniels would go up like crazy, because there's this one company that's trying to regenerate livers.
Yes.
And if they can regenerate a liver, Jack Daniels stock will go up dramatically. You know, that's just, don't you love to
hear
that?
Is that right?
Really?
Well, think about this.
Regenerate livers, and then you could just drink all you want.
Drink all
right,
you want.
Exactly.
See? Jack would be happy.
Jack and all the rest of those distillers out there.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Now, Mr. Rizzino, I know you've been reading and studying your Bible real hard. Have you done it lately?
Yes, I have.
Tax season?
Actually, I have.
Have we got stumped Pastor Tom today?
No, we didn't stump him at all, because we haven't had a chance to talk.
Uh-huh. I'd like to try to do this on the radio live, so that way he has no time to study.
No time to study? I've only been studying 30 years.
I know. But see, I'm
a student, so he would be able to educate me, you know?
Well, you know what?
Maybe.
I love listening.
But, just like you've been telling people, even when you go to an expert, sometimes they don't know. They got to go check the source.
They got to go check the source.
Exactly.
Well, how big is the tax code? How many pages?
75,000
pages. 75,000 pages. Well, that's easy. Hey, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, I was just wondering, when you are dealing with your clients, and if you find out that things aren't going the way they're thinking it should be going, and they ask you a question about tithing, how do you go about talking about tithing in a business sense to your customers and your clients or whatever?
Well, the Bible's pretty clear on that. If I get Pastor Tom over here.
Well, tithing is the tenth, the first tenth, not the last tenth.
Right.
And as a pastor, you teach tithing. You teach that people should tithe. Sometimes people will call the station and say, we want to send our tithe to the radio station. And we tell them, no, wait a minute. The tithe belongs to the church you're going to,
right,
not to the station. But in a business sense, businesses that I mean, there's a historical record of some of the people that have made tithing a principle of their business, and you'll see what successful people they have become. Yep. When you think of J.C. Penney, you think of Truett Cathy, you think of Chick-fil-A, and some of these other people. Yep. It's a principle that should be at the top of the list of anybody, so, whether they're a corporate or an individual.
So the answer is really pretty simple. One of the hard things that goes, if you want to stay with exactly the way that, that is prescribed and what Pastor Tom was saying, you don't start saving money for other purposes until you've taken care of that. So when you're talking to me, when you're asking me that question, I'll say, well, are you able to tithe? And if you say yes, okay, now we're going to go into plan B once we're done with that portion. Does that make sense? Or did I?
I think he may be gone.
Well, then we lost him. So
I
much
think
for
we
that.
Lost that call.
But maybe if you're listening on the radio, this is not a hard one. It may be a difficult one if from a family standpoint and a husband and wife. But if you're on the same page with that one, it's not a difficult. Is that fair, Tom?
It is, and as you said, it is a difficult thing. It's a discipline that a lot of Christians struggle with. Because that you're talking about 10% of their income.
Yeah.
It's 10% of the gross, which is more like maybe 15%.
Let's take another call here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question in regards to a mortgage. I filed bankruptcy about 2 years ago, and when I called the mortgage company, they say they always give me this a disclaimer saying, you know, since you filed bankruptcy, you're not responsible for the note, and I did not include the home in the bankruptcy. Do you have any insight for me on that? I don't understand what they're saying when they're telling me this.
Well, was it a Chapter 13 bankruptcy or a Chapter 7 bankruptcy?
Chapter 7.
Okay, and you included the note in the bankruptcy?
I did not. Specifically did not, because the house is not underwater, the payments were current, and the house actually has value.
Okay. Well, a lot of lenders do this. What they do is they get notice that you filed a bankruptcy, and they will treat you like you're included in the bankruptcy, because they're not supposed to disclose a lot of information once a debt is included in the bankruptcy. For example, if you did include your debt in the bankruptcy, they can no longer report you to the credit bureau. So to protect themselves, what they're doing is they're just not including any information. They're treating it like it was included in the bankruptcy, even though it wasn't. But technically, you're still responsible for it. You can have it reported on your credit report, and you can get all information from that loan.
Basically, once you declare bankrupt, number one, the house is exempt. But if you owe money on the house,
only if it's your homestead exempt.
If it's your homestead, meaning again,
it is.
Okay,
it is.
But you're still responsible to pay that loan, and they could foreclose. You can't. In other words, you can't just keep your house and never pay for it, because they have a lien on the house, so you have to pay for it. But it's excluded. Right. It's excluded. Am I right, Greg?
Well, everybody'd like to not pay for that.
Well, but you have to pay.
Right?
You have to pay to keep it. Right. But very often, the court system, even if you reported it, would say, okay, fine, we can set this aside because it's your homestead, and you have to keep paying for it. And they don't count that in your assets to pay off other creditors.
Right. What are you trying to achieve when you're speaking with the bank? What are you trying to achieve through them?
I was trying to refinance, and like I said, every time I call them, they just give me this disclaimer, and I say, "Sorry, you're incorrect by saying that," and then we go on with the business that I called about. But because again, I did not include it in the bankruptcy.
Well, one thing is,
it just strikes odd to me that they say that every time I call.
Yeah, and they're just protecting their butt. That's all. But you know, most loan programs, all loan programs, have a waiting period after a bankruptcy is discharged. So it's probably a little too fresh to refinance the loan at this point. For example, FHA has a waiting period of 3 years after a bankruptcy.
Which it is almost 2 years. It's been May. And then do you suggest going FHA or not?
Well, do you have a FHA loan now?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I would stick with an FHA loan and just do what's called a streamlined refinance, but you're going to have to wait a little bit for that.
One more year, right?
Yep.
Well, it's 3 years, not two. I was under the impression it was two from FHA.
Well, Well, what they do is there's different guidelines for if it was due to a situation out of your control, they will make an exception, make it shorter.
Gotcha.
What's an example of a situation out of your control?
Well, I'll give you an example. FHA came out with a program a few years ago. It's the Back to Work program. If you had a FHA loan and you experienced some financial hardship as a result of the economy, like say you were unemployed for a period of time, then you're back to work. Well, they will they'll cut the waiting period down to 1 year.
Okay, so they have exceptions.
That is somewhat the situation, and it's very hard to get with them and get any results because it was basically the 2008 credit debacle that put me out of a 20-year-old company out of business because you couldn't get credit with anybody. Everybody cut the credit lines to, I had $100,000 credit lines with all suppliers, and they made them $5,000 in 3 days.
Yeah.
So put me out of business due to that.
You might be a great candidate for that Back to Work program.
I'll tell you what you might do. Did you leave your name and number with Connie when you called?
I did.
Let Mike talk to you off the radio, then he can do some checking for you, and he won't, not to charge you anything. He'll talk to you off air and see if you can accomplish something.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling. 1-888-221-8990. Like they say, there's different ways to skin the cat.
And you have another call.
And we have another call. Why don't I take the call, Tom?
I think you should.
Right. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. So is a question related to my property taxes.
Good, because our CPA is falling asleep here, so it's good that you're asking a tax question.
Yeah, so keep me awake over here. So a lot of late nights this time of year.
Go right ahead. We're just picking on you a little bit.
Yeah, I moved from Miami to here 2 years ago. And when I filed for my taxes, they told me I could not have homestead in Miami and homestead here. So I could not get it for 2010-11. We moved here 2011. 2014, the house was sold. They told me I would get it for 2015. I applied for it. I did everything that they asked me to do. And I get my tax papers, $3,500. That is about three times of what I paid in Miami. I don't understand it. And I figure, I probably could get some answers from you, maybe some help.
Can you explain this $3,500? What was that? Was that the tax that you paid?
The taxes they sent now that I have to pay $3,500.
Well, that's your taxes on the house, is what you're saying.
Taxes on the house.
Property tax.
Property tax.
Yes, property tax. Yes.
Did you get the exemption or not?
He doesn't. Apparently, didn't get it.
They told me I had to file when the house was sold, which of course I did. Mm-hmm. And I did everything when I went to the tax place. The lady told me, they gave me the form. I mailed the form. And they sent everything back, and I don't know.
Well, here's what happened. In 2014, you sold your house in Miami, correct?
Is that right? You sell your house in Miami in 2014?
2013.
When did you apply for your homestead exemption?
On the house up here, right?
Correct.
I applied for it in 2014, but what? They told me I would get it for this.
Well, you had to apply for the homestead exemption before the end of February of 2014.
In order for it to apply in
November of 2000. Exactly. Right. So when you got your tax, so it depends on when you filed. If you filed after the deadline, then you missed
the window for this year.
Did you file after that?
That's a good question. I probably did.
There you go.
I thought I filed the taxes in November. You're probably right. I probably filed
The good thing is it's going to go into effect this November in 2015. So you'll get a break this year. And also, did you file for your portability of your homestead? There's two separate applications that you have to complete.
Would you repeat the question?
Well, see, what happens is if you had your homestead on a different property, and you're
the one in Miami, right?
You had a home in Miami.
You had it homestead.
Okay, you can, when you canceled that, you can apply to transport that savings that you had onto this new property.
You may not have been told that.
Yep.
No, sir, I was not told. Oh, what we were told when we went down there, the lady said, well, you cannot have exemption in Miami and have exemption here.
Exactly.
So hey, when you sell the house, then you can apply.
Yeah.
After you sold the house, and then apply. And that's all they said to me. So that's why I called to find out what I have.
Question,
to
Mike, is
$500 is a lot of money.
Is portability retroactive? Can you go back and
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
So here's what we've got.
I think they give you 2 years.
We've got your name and phone number, I think, and Mike will talk to you after the show and try to get you the piece of paper that you can refile this and see if we can get you some of that taken care of. Will that work out?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
All right. So you'll hear back from Mike, if not today, tomorrow. And,
sure.
And then we'll see what we can do for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. And thanks for your time. Thanks for the advice.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for calling. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. You know, that portability thing, I don't think a whole bunch of, you know, if you don't know about that, Mike, you know, the government people aren't ready to jump out and tell you this.
No, they're not interested in saving your money.
No,
we are.
No, that's not their job. Their job is fill in the blanks. I'm getting my paycheck and, hey, get out next.
You got the same
is there
situation.
A time limit on that portability?
You know, I can't say that I'm an expert, but I believe it's 2 years.
I don't remember the time frame.
Yeah.
I saw,
so it's probably within the realm of him because he's 14 and 15, so, that's pretty current.
Yeah.
By the way, you get the same kind of speech from Social Security, too. I mean, they're not going to come out and tell you what you need to do to say what to enhance your benefits.
We have gone through and gone through the social bill. So, in fact, I counsel people constantly, before you go, you need, and I'll give you, write you down the questions that you can go ask, but make an appointment and go in and ask. Don't just sit there and think they're going to tell you anything.
Right.
I had somebody comment on the program that you did the other day about the Social Security and filing for it earlier or filing later. And one of the fellows, he said, well, he wanted to file for it early because he felt he was going to miss, 3 or 4 years of payments that he wouldn't get otherwise. And then other people say, no, I'm waiting till full retirement age so that my payment will be more. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, well, he would have, if he waited till full retirement age, that he would have to receive benefits for almost 10 years before it would make up the difference what he lost by not filing it early.
There is a cutoff. It's about, I think the average is, if you live to 78 years of age, is what the
that's
cutoff.
That's about 10 years.
Yeah.
But so what's the consensus of opinion?
But there's other things.
There's other factors in there. It's not as simple as that sounds because, are you working? Are you earning money? If you retire early, you're limited as to what you can earn. Mm-hmm. So it depends if you're fully retired or not. Mm-hmm. If you are retired and you don't have any other source of earned income, what I mean earn, if you're working or if you're in a business, if you have earned income, then you're limited to $15,000 a year of earnings. And once you go beyond that, then they take away $1 of benefit for every $2 over that limit.
So if you make $30,000 a year, you'd lose.
You'd lose everything.
You should also consider your health, too, right? Your health, because are you going to live that long?
Yeah, exactly.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
There's a lot of consideration.
Hi, Mike. This is Leslie. I have a question. I have a modification loan, and the loan was reduced to, it was over $200,000, and it was reduced to, I think, almost like $120,000.
Mm, congratulations.
Is there any hope? The loan was reduced, modified, I think, 2 years ago after the market crash. And is there any hope, for refinance this loan? Because I think they told me that I have to finish pay the loan, or otherwise they would put the deferred amount back on the loan.
We'd have to take a look at your modification agreement because all the terms are spelled out in that agreement. Most modifications aren't set up that way. I'm kind of surprised to hear that. Usually they'll give you a reduction in the interest rate or a reduction in the payment, and they'll give you a trial period. You have to make your payments for a certain period of time, and then they'll consider making that permanent. On the modifications I've seen where there's principal reduction, I've never seen it where they could tack that on, but it was really an agreement between you and the bank at that time. We would really have to look at the agreement that you signed.
Do you have a copy of that agreement still?
Yes.
Here's what you do. After the show, Mike will give you a call, and maybe tomorrow, if you can get that out, you can fax it to him or scan it in email, let him read it, and see if he can help you refinance it. Because if you're stuck for a period of time, I've never heard him going longer than 5 years. Have you, Mike?
No. And you know, if there isn't any kind of a prepayment penalty or some kind of penalty to pay it off early, as long as you've been making that payment on time, we should be able to refinance you out of it.
Even if there is a penalty, there should be, it should not be that bad. But bottom line is, Mike will have to read that agreement and make sure that it's in your best interest. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we've got your name and number, right? You gave it to Connie?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so Mike will give you a call, if not today, tomorrow, and counsel you through this and see how we can help you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Joe, well, we've had a call from Nikki, your assistant.
I remember her.
And she called to say that there's a fire out here on US 1 near Walmart in Stewart.
Right.
And that the traffic is at a standstill north and south of Walmart here in Stewart. And she just thought you might want to know that.
Well, you know, not only do I, Mike, you're helping people here, right?
In well, fact, that's the idea.
Actually, the fire is right off of Monroe Street, east of US 1 in the industrial park, and it was a monster fire. And at 3 o'clock, I drove by when it was full-fledged right then, and it was a big monster fire. I don't know
I heard that there were 21 fire trucks involved, and they were out of foam.
No. And then what happened is when I was there driving down US 1, there were probably 10 more police cars coming and starting to barricade streets so people wouldn't be driving down, plus all of the onlookers that are parked all over the streets looking at it. But it's a monster fire. But anybody that can avoid US 1 or commercial that runs parallel to US 1.
In Stewart,
near Walmart. It's Monroe Street, if you know. That's just immediately
take another way.
It's a biodiesel fuel refinery.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
And a diesel fuel refinery.
Biodiesel.
That might burn.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it was flaming up 100 feet in the air. It was a big, big fire. So, and it's probably going to burn for a good while. But
wow.
Anyway, yeah, that's good.
So thanks, Nikki, for calling.
Thank you, Nikki, for doing that. I'm sorry we didn't mention it earlier because, for whatever reason. I didn't. Mm-hmm. And
got to talking about other.
And none of our other team members reminded me either. I'm looking for guilt and I'm not getting any.
you're the host.
I was the one.
We didn't start the fire, Joe.
I was the one that was closest to it. And right when it
you
started.
You were there. You said you saw it.
I'm telling you, I drove right by it. And I'm not going to stop and gawk with the rest of them, but I'm watching all the police show up.
They call them rubberneckers up north.
Yes, that too. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So, we've got Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, sitting here. Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. We've got Greg Fasula, attorney. And Joe Martek, financial advisor. We've got pretty much everybody minus one person who's playing in the Bahamas.
No. Dan Warren.
Well, we don't count Danny's sick.
Oh.
We don't want him here then.
Yeah. I don't know if he's. Hey, you know. When Dan doesn't get sick very often, but
I've never heard of him being sick.
You know, whatever he's got something that his office said he can't make either show today. So
that's unusual.
But it happens.
Well, we appreciate him not bringing whatever it is.
Yeah, we don't need it. We don't need it. We got enough.
Dan, I hope he's listening. Dan, I hope you feel better.
Yep, there you go.
Soon.
We could take another phone call or two. How much time do we have?
Well, we've got about 14 minutes or so, a little less than that, 13 minutes. And if you'd like to call, the toll-free number here is 888-221-8990. You can ask a question about mortgages, taxes, law, or financial investing today.
That's very good. That's good. Is there, you know, One of the things that happens with the law that we don't talk about very often, and that's people that might have a will or a trust that might be 10 or 20 years old, and especially if it was done out of state, mm-hmm. and now they're domiciled in Florida, mm-hmm. it may not comply with Florida regs. Is that fair?
That's fair. I mean, it's pretty universal as far as the testator, the person signing the will, signs, and that you have two witnesses. But there are differences in how the forms are done and what would be acceptable in Florida and you know, not. And I've seen some states they don't require notaries. So those sort of wills could be technically legal, but it's just harder to use.
So what happens is the court system makes it a bit more onerous.
You may have to try to find witnesses.
I remember one time we had to go search for witnesses that signed something order to make it valid on Florida.
Which
makes life more interesting, especially mm-hmm. if we don't know where they live or anything.
Yeah, how would you find a witness that signed 20 years ago?
Yeah.
It makes it a bit of a problem.
That's a good question.
What if they're no longer
an investigator?
It's a good question.
This is why I'm saying the court system gets a bit more onerous and it takes a bit longer and more aggravation that can be avoided.
Would that mean that any will should be updated periodically? I mean, is it something that you should redo every few years?
Depends, you know, how it's signed. And I mean, if it's signed what we call self-proving, where you sign, the witnesses sign, and then you sign a second time, the witnesses sign a second time, and then there's a notary that notarizes everybody, not only the testator, but also notarizes the witnesses. And that's what's considered self-proving. That's what makes it automatically accepted. So if it's done in that form, you don't have that problem because you have the notary already saying that these are the people, that they've identified the people, you know, the person writing the will and also the witnesses.
So there are certain little tiny things you don't think about. I mean, it's just once it's done, it's just gone. But literally, if it's done that way, you're in good shape. If it's not, one of the things that happens is we're all going to die. That's the easy part. The situation comes, it's the family. It's who you're leaving. And when you take something that could have been done quickly or easily, and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult and time-consuming and expensive, and it could have been avoided for just a tiny bit of time, it just pays people to look at it. It's Craig, like we were also talking, I remember, when you have a deed on a house, and we've had this happen on a few occasions, mm-hmm. where a husband and wife owned the house, mm-hmm. and one of them died, on the deed to the house, it didn't say husband and wife.
Yeah.
Well, then guess what? They're a partnership, and that partnership says, well, that person that's died, half of their house, that house goes to their estate, which means... We now, and boy, we had some wonderful ones where we had stepchildren involved, mm-hmm. and mom's in the house and dad's gone and the kids want their half of the house and kick my, I mean, it can be very exciting.
Get nasty.
And
get nasty.
It can. You know, we've had some ones that were not as nasty, but the bottom line is little things it pays to check.
Yeah.
Check your deed and make sure if you are married, and you do like your spouse. And your spouse likes you. One of you, check that deed and make sure that it says either husband and wife or spouse, some kind of thing that tells you're married.
Some indication that it's a married couple.
Yeah.
But even if it's not a married couple, I just recently had a mother and daughter.
Right.
And the way they wanted it was the property would go to the survivor of the two of them.
Right.
But the way that it was deeded out, it didn't. There was no survivorship rights.
Yeah, to change the deed.
Yeah.
Which is not hard to do.
No.
But the key thing is this, like it'd be no different than Greg and I, if we're brothers or brother and sister, the court doesn't care what you tell them. They care what it says on that piece of paper. And if it doesn't designate husband and wife, then half of that property goes to...
It has to go through the
state. It becomes like a tenant in common situation, right, Greg?
Is there a standardized pecking order of who gets what if there's no will, as far as, you know, if a husband dies, his wife mm-hmm. gets it? If he has no wife, his children get it. I mean, is there something in law about that?
There's a pecking order.
There is.
First is spouse, and then if there's no spouse, then it's children. No children, then it goes brother, sister. Then it goes up to parent. I think it's parent and then brother and sister.
Yeah. Starts off.
And, you know, then it goes all the way down the line trying to find.
And the state controls all that if you don't have a will.
No mm-hmm. kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And you keep you know, looking for heirs, basically.
We had a case. Tom, it's just a funny story. Not really funny, but I took care of a lady for 10 years. And I mean, literally knocked on her door one day and she came to the door and she said, quote, "Thank God you're here." And I said, "Well, I've been greeted well before, but maybe not quite that well." Well, that was the beginning of a 10-year relationship. Husband had died, no children, no this, and so she became a part of the family. And then eventually she died 10 years later. And then about 6 months later, I got a letter from an insurance company that said she had life insurance. Now, in the meantime, I had been taking care of her for 10 years. And her family, who I did found out she had family, all hated her and she hated them and nobody, da-da-da-da-da-da. It was really an exciting time. So I called the insurance company. I said, "How do I get the money?" I said, "You don't. It has to go to a blood relative." Mm-hmm. You remember this one, Greg? No? Mm-hmm. I do. Anyway, so I called this sister in New York and I said, "Your sister had life insurance." And she goes, "How much?" And I said, $20,000. She goes, "Who gets it?" And I said, "You do." She goes, "How?"
When?
And then I said, "Well, you're going to call Greg Fasula, and he's going to help you with the paperwork." That was the end of that conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
I mean, I see people all the time that when I ask them about life insurance policies and who the beneficiaries are, they don't know. And they don't remember. Well, I mean, they might have taken it out, you know, many years ago.
You got the same situation with IRAs and retirement accounts.
Yeah, so. if you don't change the name, well, husband and wife, they get divorced and she's the beneficiary on his life insurance and she's now married, he's married to a new woman for 20 years and he dies mm-hmm. and the first wife gets the money because he forgot to change the beneficiary.
Yeah, I had one recently, a probate, where they named first named the spouse and then named a parent. So both of them have predeceased that person.
Right.
So now, of course, it's got to go through probate.
The key thing is this. These are tiny details that we all take for granted. This is what we do for a living, and we help people. But these are things we try to stir the pot a little bit here to get you thinking a little bit and double-check some things, because these are questions that come up regularly to us. And again, I said, we kind of take them for granted sometimes. But, hey, when it's you, it's not taken for granted.
Joe, we're running out of time, so if anybody has a question today, you can call right now, toll-free, 888-221-8990. We've got about 5 minutes left, and you can call and ask any of these guys a question today. So,
and if you have questions about money, I know somebody that's
a clue.
It's a kind of a clue, you know. It's an interesting thing that most people today are not real happy with what the bank is paying. No, I don't know. Greg, you like what the bank's paying because they pay that big half of 1%, right?
Yeah, I'm very happy.
That's what I figured. So what happens, one of my more favorite type of investments, if you're not happy with what the bank's paying, is what's called exchange-traded debt. I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of detail, but just picture this. A debt instrument is like we were talking about a note on a mortgage.
Right.
That's a debt instrument, and you sign a note, and you agree to pay somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a note. Well, big companies, some of the biggest companies in America, some big utility companies have done the very same thing, and they said, fine, we will pay you a 5 or 6% interest, and we'll pay you interest every 3 months, and just that simple. Now, the good news is they pay you 5 or 6% every 3 months. The bad news, and it's not necessarily bad, is that most of these have what's called call dates. A call date means they can call that loan in and they can pay you off and say, hey, take your money and leave. So most of these run until 2018 and 2019. So what happens is they give you your money back. Now, in between now and then, if you want to sell it at any time, you can. It's 100% liquid. The only ones I deal with are 100% liquid. So if anybody is not happy with what they're getting in the bank or with a fixed annuity contract, you need to just take a look at this and see if it fits. One of the things that happens, I don't move quickly with anybody. We get you information, you digest it, and if it works, wonderful. If it doesn't work, so be it.
Right. Is there a cost to get into these investments?
Funny thing, you pay me. It's you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. How, mm-hmm. You know, none of us are philanthropists. Do you think that's mm-hmm. ever going to happen?
I wish.
Yes. You know, hitting the lottery is the only way that's ever going to happen if we become a philanthropist. But basically, you're going to pay me a commission of 2 or 2.5% one time when you buy. You pay nothing when you sell, but you will pay me one time when you buy, unless you give me a few million dollars, and then you won't pay me quite that much. Not that I'm expecting it. But it really doesn't make any difference how much money. And you can add to these things. You can buy regularly, whatever. They're very, very, very liquid. They're really nice. They're pretty simple instruments. I'm a monster believer in them.
So if these investments, some of these investments are paying up to 7%.
They were, but you know, most of those are pretty gone now. Because, you know, back in the heyday of the recession, mm-hmm. when money was tight, 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 some were paying 8 and 9 and even more. But most of those have been called.
Yeah.
So today, 5 and 6% is pretty much the going numbers.
Still not bad.
No. Now, are they as secure as a stock, or what's the risk involved?
Well, let's just say it's a utility. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Monster company. Monster company. Do you think utilities are going to go out of business?
If they do, we have a bigger problem.
We have a much bigger problem. I'll be trading my vegetables for yours, and we're going to have to live next door to each other because we can't find gas for the car. The key is this. These are extremely liquid. I only want to deal with what I'm going to call household names. But they're not stock. Common stock means you own the company. These are debt instruments, means I agree to pay you. Now, the person that's agreeing to pay you, the company, is a monster, monster, monster company, a household name that you'll feel very comfortable with. And if you ever want to sell it, you can, anytime, anytime. They're 100% liquid.
And you know what I like about utilities, Joe? They're like taxing authorities. I mean, they need money. They raise their rates. Of course, they need permission from the Public Service Commission.
It's hard to get an utility. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of a utility going out of business?
Out of business?
I don't think it's possible.
They tried. Enron tried to do that. They almost put them out of business.
Well, you know what they were, though? They were a middleman rather than a pure utility, yeah. Which they were, I hate to say they were a scam, but by golly.
They were a broker.
Yeah.
You got the same thing. You know, you got people trading on these contracts, even with the oil.
Yeah.
They're manipulated. Pricing is manipulated.
But when the end utility company, the one that's charging us money for keeping the power on, you know.
They're not going out of business.
They're not going anywhere. Well, Pastor Tom.
You got about a minute and 10 seconds.
Wait a minute. You don't have a minute and 10 second card. You got only a minute card.
Well, I'll hold this one for 3 more seconds. Now. There you go.
There you go. One minute.
We got words of wisdom, Greg?
No, I don't.
You know, here's an attorney without words of wisdom. Greg Rifasula.
I'm sure Vince has some, though. It's tax time.
Wisdom?
The wisdom is make sure that you don't miss the filing deadline. So check with your preparer or your CPA. The other thing is be careful. I had a situation just today, Joe. Somebody had a rental property. Their preparer didn't take depreciation deductions.
Oh, boy.
And now he goes to sell it, and he's wondering why he's got an extra profit.
Uh-huh.
The profit is, IRS says, it's allowed or allowable. If you don't take that deduction when you're entitled to it, they assume you did, and they reduce your basis.
Oh.
So
wonderful.
Be careful who's doing your prep work.
And funding IRAs?
Funding IRAs, April 15th. Yeah, you've got till the 15th. If that's just a SEP IRA, then you've got till the extended due date of your if you extend your return.
For a deduction on last year,
correct.
We got time is showing. We're counting down. You know, you're pretty good.
You're out of time.
I'm impressed. Until next week, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program.
What's
the Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
house of the Lord, running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City.